You can start talking now.
Did you want me to say something?
No, it's just that I know you're compelled to.
Yeah.
So start talking.
It's a podcast.
No, it's story time. This is not a podcast. It's different.
I will say, hello, friends. Welcome to part... Is this part four?
I think so.
That said, I really have nothing to say other than... I hope all of you are doing all right. I hope you're staying sane. What are we? What tea is this? That we're drinking.
I forget who. Oh, it's probably on the little. It's called Sweet and Spicy. It's the best tea ever. Oh, it's from Good Earth. It's just so amazing.
I have been drinking shitloads over the past few days.
Of tea.
Of just anything. I feel like I'm constantly drinking something throughout the day. I wake up, I make myself, I had a tea.
Wasn't that a good thing?
It's a great thing. But I just feel like I have been peeing more than I ever had in my life. Okay, are you ready to read?
Yeah. He looked across the sea and knew how alone he was now. But he could see the prisms in the deep, dark water and the line stretched ahead and the strange undulation of the calm. The clouds were building up now for the trade wind, and he looked ahead and saw a flight of wild ducks etching themselves against the sky over the water, then blurring, then etching again, and he knew no man was ever alone at sea. He thought of how some men feared being out of sight of land in a small boat, and he knew they were right in the months of sudden bad weather. But now they were in hurricane months, and when there was no hurricane, the weather of hurricane months is the best of all the year. If there is a hurricane, you always see the signs of it in the sky for days ahead if you are at sea. They do not see it ashore because they do not know what to look for, he thought. The land must make a difference, too, in the shape of the clouds. But we have no hurricane coming now. He looked at the sky and saw the white cumulus built like friendly piles of ice cream, and high above were the thin feathers of the cirrus against the high September sky. Light brisa, he said. Better weather for me than for you, fish. His left hand was still cramped, but he was unknotting it slowly. I hate a cramp, he thought. It is a treachery of one's own body. It is humiliating before others to have a diarrhea from food poisoning or to vomit from it. But a cramp, he thought. He thought of it as a calambre. Humiliates oneself, especially when one is alone. If the boy were here, he would rub it for me and loosen it down from the forearm, he thought. But it will loosen up. Then, with his right hand, he felt the difference in the pull of the line before he saw the slant change in the water. Then, as he leaned against the line and slapped his left hand hard and fast against his thigh, he saw the line slanting slowly upward. He's coming up, he said. Come on, hand. Please come on. The line rose slowly and steadily, and then the surface of the ocean bulged against the head of the boat, and the fish came out. He came out unendingly, and the water poured from his sides. He was bright in the sky, and his head and back were dark purple, and in the sun, the stripes on his sides showed wide and a light lavender. His sword was as long as a baseball bat and tapered like a rapier, and he rose his full length from the water and then re-entered it, smoothly, like a diver. And the old man saw the great scythe blade of his tail go under, and the line commenced to race out. He is 2 feet longer than the skiff, the old man said. The line was going out fast but steadily, and the fish was not panicked. The old man was trying with both hands to keep the line just inside of breaking strength. He knew that if he could not slow the fish with a steady pressure, the fish could take out all the line and break it. He is a great fish, and I must convince him, he thought. I must never let him learn his strength, nor what he could do if he made his run. If I were him, I would put in everything now and go until something broke. But thank God they are not as intelligent as we who kill them, although they are more noble and more able. The old man had seen many great fish. He had seen many that weighed more than 1,000 pounds, and he had caught 2 of that size in his life, but never alone. Now alone, and out of sight of land, he was fast to the biggest fish that he had ever seen and bigger than he had ever heard of, and his left hand was still as tight as the gripped claws of an eagle. It will uncramp, though, he thought. Surely it will uncramp to help my right hand. There are 3 things that are brothers, the fish and my 2 hands. It must uncramp. It is unworthy of it to be cramped. The fish had slowed again and was going at his usual pace. I wonder why he jumped, the old man thought. He jumped almost as though to show me how big he is. I know now, anyway, he thought. I wish I could show him what sort of man I am, but then he would see the cramped hand. Let him think I am more man than I am, and I will be so. I wish I was the fish, he thought, with everything he has against only my will and my intelligence. He settled comfortably against the wood and took his suffering as it came, and the fish swam steadily, and the boat moved slowly through the dark water. There was a small sea rising with the wind coming up from the east, and at noon the old man's left hand was uncramped. "Bad news for you, fish," he said, and shifted the line over the sacks that covered his shoulders. He was comfortable but suffering, although he did not admit the suffering at all. "I'm not religious," he said, "but I will say 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys that I should catch this fish, and I promise to make a pilgrimage to the Virgin of Cobre if I catch him. That is a promise." He commenced to say his prayers mechanically. Sometimes he would be so tired that he could not remember the prayer, and then he would say them fast so that they came automatically. "Hail Marys are easier to say than Our Fathers," he thought. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Then he added, "Blessed Virgin, pray for the death of this fish, wonderful though he is." With his prayers said and feeling much better, but suffering exactly as much, and perhaps a little more, he leaned against the wood of the bow and began, mechanically, to work the fingers of his left hand. The sun was hot now, although the breeze was rising gently. "I'd better rebait that little line over the stern," he said. "If the fish decides to stay another night, I will need to eat again, and the water is low in the bottle. I don't think I can get anything but a dolphin here. But if I eat him fresh enough, he won't be bad. I wish a flying fish would come on board tonight, but I have no light to attract them. A flying fish is excellent to eat raw, and I would not have to cut him up. I must save all my strength now. Christ, I did not know he was so big. I'll kill him, though," he said, "in all his greatness and his glory. Although it is unjust," he thought, "but I will show him what a man can do and what a man endures." "I told the boy I was a strange old man," he said. "Now is when I must prove it." The 1,000 times that he had proved it meant nothing. Now he was proving it again. Each time was a new time, and he never thought about the past when he was doing it. "I wish he'd sleep and I could sleep and dream about the lions," he thought. "Why are the lions the main thing that is left? Don't think, old man," he said to himself. "Rest gently now against the wood and think of nothing. He is working. Work as little as you can." It was getting into the afternoon and the boat still moved slowly and steadily. But there was an added drag now from the easterly breeze, and the old man rowed gently with the small sea, and the hurt of the cord across his back came to him easily and smoothly. Once in the afternoon, the line started to rise again. The fish only continued to swim at a slightly higher level. The sun was on the old man's left arm and shoulder and on his back, so he knew the fish had turned east of north. Now that he had seen him once, he could picture the fish swimming in the water with his purple pectoral fins set wide as wings and the great erect tail slicing through the dark. "I wonder how much he sees at that depth," the old man thought. "His eye is huge, and a horse with much less eye can see in the dark. Once I could see quite well in the dark. Not in the absolute dark, but almost as a cat sees." The sun and his steady movement of his fingers has uncramped his left hand now completely, and he began to shift more of the strain to it, and he shrugged the muscles of his back to shift the hurt of the cord a little. "If you're not tired, fish," he said aloud, "you must be very strange." He felt very tired now, and he knew the night would come soon, and he tried to think of other things. He thought of the big leagues. To him, they were the Grand Ligas, and he knew that the Yankees of New York were playing the Tigers of Detroit. "This is the second day now that I do not know the result of the juegos, but I must have confidence and I must be worthy of the great DiMaggio, who does all things perfectly, even with the pain of the bone spur in his heel." "What is a bone spur?" he asked himself. "Una espuela de hueso. We do not have them. Can it be as painful as a spur of a fighting cock in one's heel? I do not think I could endure that, or the loss of the eye, or of both eyes, and continue to fight as the fighting cocks do. Man is not much beside the great birds and beasts. Still, I would rather be that beast down there in the darkness of the sea. Unless sharks come," he said aloud. "If sharks come, God pity him and me." "Do you believe the great DiMaggio would stay with a fish as long as I will stay with this one?" he thought. "I am sure he would, and more since he is young and strong. Also, his father was a fisherman. But would the bone spur hurt him too much?" "I do not know," he said aloud. "I never had a bone spur." As the sun set, he remembered, to give himself more confidence, the time in the tavern at Casablanca when he had played the hand game with the great Negro from Cienfuegos, who was the strongest man on the docks. They had gone one day and one night with their elbows on a chalk line on the table and their forearms straight up and their hands gripped tight. Each one was trying to force the other's hand down onto the table. There was much bedding and people went in and out of the room under the kerosene lights, and he had looked at the arm and the hand of the Negro and at the Negro's face. They changed the referees every 4 hours after the first eight so that the referees could sleep. Blood came out from under the fingernails of both his and the Negro's hands, and they looked each other in the eye and at their hands and forearms, and the bettors went in and out of the room and sat on high chairs against the wall and watched. The walls were painted bright blue and were of wood, and the lamps threw their shadows against them. The Negro's shadow was huge, and it moved on the wall as the breeze moved the lamps. The odds would change back and forth all night, and they fed the Negro rum and lighted cigarettes for him. Then the Negro, after the rum, would try for a tremendous effort, and once he had the old man, who was not an old man then, but was Santiago El Campeón, nearly 3 inches off balance, but the old man had raised his hand up to dead even again. He was sure then that he had the Negro, who was a fine man and a great athlete, beaten. And at daylight, when the bettors were asking that it be called a draw and the referee was shaking his head, he had unleashed his effort and forced the hand of the Negro down and down until it rested on the wood. The match had started on a Sunday morning and ended on a Monday morning. Many of the bettors had asked for a draw because they had to go to work on the docks loading sacks of sugar or at the Havana Coal Company. Otherwise, everyone would have wanted it to go to a finish. But he had finished it anyway and before anyone had to go to work. That's kind of a good pausing spot.
That ruled. If I'm going to be honest, I'm like going through waves. Like my days have waves. Yesterday ruled because I was off. We took yesterday off from take the day off from your problems, as What About Bob says.
Oh, funny.
We're on a vacation from the coronavirus. Cell phones off. Weren't looking at the news. Weren't on social media. No emails. None of that stuff. Just hung out together. It was great. But it comes in waves, right? So all that to say, this is really nice. I look forward to this. This just relaxing out with you. Listen to you read. Thank you for doing this. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Hope wherever you're at, you're staying sane. And maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow. It's up to Sarah. Do you think we'll do this tomorrow?
I think so.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Mm-hmm.